Hey now, Habs fans, hockey fans, the Curfew Boys podcast is back with a brand new episode featuring not just one, not two, not three, but four members. Look at that, Belafonte. Adri, the Chipman, is here with us tonight, along with my cousin Chris and Mr. Anthony.
Hey now.
How y'all doing? Yes. Good evening, Adri. Adri, we haven't seen your pretty face in a long time. How have you been?
Bah, I'm busy.
Bah. Okay. I mean, we're definitely not editing that part.
Busy.
We're not poor boys from standing here.
That's life, eh? One day at a time.
Yep.
As long as you're good, you're good though, right?
Oh,
same shit, different day, but you're good. Okay, that's what counts. Chris, you were in Toronto, I think.
I was in enemy territory all last week. National sales meeting for the entirety of the week. I swear to God, I was waking up at 6, finishing at 11:30 at night. I am exhausted. I literally got back. This is a good. You know, for the listeners, I like to get a little taste of this, but.
You could fast
came back from the airport. My girlfriend was having an evening with her girlfriends, and her girlfriend's boyfriends are actually close friends with. We all get along. So these fucking guys, I love them. They pull up to the airport, hanging out the fucking window, yelling at me. I'm still in the suit. I've been working the whole day. We go straight from the airport to the casino, finish at the casino, go grab a bite to eat. And then I finish up at like 11, 12 o'clock at night, still in suit bowling, doing horribly, fucking contact lenses dry. And then last night I figured finally enjoy the Boston Montreal game. It's going to be nice and quiet, and nope, out until 3 o'clock in the morning at nightclub Bordel downtown Old Port of Montreal. So I am fucking exhausted. I am beyond burnt, but surrounded by people who love, and I'll say I'm not going to complain with that level of luck.
So Toronto was good.
No. I did everything but talking about Toronto. Toronto was Toronto was brutal.
You know what? You couldn't like stay one more. You couldn't stay one more day to watch our Montreal Alouettes beat the shit out of the Toronto Argonauts. And book a ticket to the Grey Cup finals. That's my football. That's my football team. While Anthony's wearing his Patriots.
But seriously, since Calvillo retired, I know we're supposed to be a Montreal-based group of fans, but like, sorry, not sorry. I don't give a shit what the Alouettes do. I really don't. Good for them. We're behind them. But I'm a bandwagon fan. I might tune into the last 10 minutes of the game for the Grey Cup on my end. Well, I don't want to speak on behalf of you guys.
I'm going to be watching it for sure. I always root for the Alouettes when they go to the Grey Cup. Every time they've gone to the Grey Cup finals, I've watched and I cheered for them. No, I've cheered for them. I've cheered for them throughout the years. I have watched them. I've watched them quite a little bit this season, so... So maybe that's why they're going, because I actually started watching them again, and I brought them luck. And just
sure.
A fucking classic way of doing it, a Montreal team beating a Toronto team. It's
when
beautiful.
It counts.
When it counts. Exactly. A bunch of chokers. It's funny because the Argonauts lost two games only the entire season. The best team in the league. But... You know, the Toronto.
They won last year. They won the last 2 years, I believe.
It doesn't matter what they did last. The capital of choking. That's what they're good for. Okay, enough about the Canadian Football League. Even though we are rooting for the Alouettes, let's talk about our boys, the Montreal Canadiens. Okay, the true Montreal team.
How's Anthony doing? One second. I know I took a lot of time for me, but how's Anthony doing over here?
I know Anthony's doing good, because I saw his face last episode. We had very good discussions that, for some reason, I don't know if we call the Curfew Boys, or for some reason we're the Prophecy Boys, because we talk about Primo needing to play a good game. We talk about Anthony mentions how, like, sometimes when things don't go well, the lines start getting mixed up and changed around. That happened. I don't know what else. And please refresh my memory if you mentioned something that.
Well, since our last episode, you know, we were in that 4-game losing streak, and they finally woke up. I don't know if you want to get into it right now, Chris. To answer your question, how I'm doing? I'm good. I'm good. I'm fucking tired, but I'm good. Spend my day in the cold today watching football. My nephew was in the finals for his football novice team.
Nice.
And I was in. It was actually a fun experience, but fucking cold today. Out of all days, fucking. And it was bad. They lost, but it was a fun experience to see a novice. Yeah, because I was there for sure. I always bring the bad luck. No, I'm not even joking. But
so I feel bad for your son's hockey team then.
Hey, I'm a good assistant coach. We're gonna fucking win it this
year. Hey, if you need another one, let me know.
Sure. We'll have the Curfew Boys coaching staff. But Chris, I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. Back to our beloved Habs. Since our last episode, I think we're 2-3. No, sorry. 2-1.
We won.
Two overtime wins, and then tonight, of course, post game show tonight. I found tonight was a sloppy game, but we'll get there later.
Yeah, I really want to get quick to look, the Detroit game, I think was the start of something important, I guess, for a lot of players, but for me, especially Caden Primo, and I know not many of us here are on the Caden Primo fan club. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Adri. I mean, it's okay.
I'm not denying it.
It's look. It was important for him, for his confidence. He hasn't won a game in like what did they say since 2021, something like that. Probably since the COVID season. I'm even trying to remember. I don't even remember when was the last time Caden Primo won a game, but he played amazing that game. Like, we got to give credit where credit's due. They won the overtime because of him. Those twice where Alex DeBrincat, who's a dangerous player, Primo robbed him at least once or twice. And then it led to the beautiful, typical Caulfield scoring a goal in overtime, which is amazing to see. But I want Cole Caulfield to score in regulation. I want him to score on the power play. He was doing that the start of last season. And I find he's doing the opposite. But he's coming in clutch when it counts in overtime. Absolutely. But you know
what
I mean?
Too predictable.
Too predictable in what sense?
Power play.
No, I'm seeing something different. I noticed a few different things in tonight's game. But hold on. Let's backtrack here to Primo. I just want to finish that thing. I'm sorry to say this. Adri, you can get mad. Joey, if you're listening, you can get mad. You can text me tomorrow that I'm a fucking loser.
We can't go an episode without saying, Joey, if you're listening.
Yeah. I really want to be on an episode with Joey, but hopefully soon.
We got to find him. I don't know where he is anymore.
Listen, I'm saying this out loud.
What you
if
wrote
we get rid of Primo message. Now, if we get rid of Primo, it'll be a big mistake the Habs will be doing. That's all I have to say. I think I said it.
What's going to happen?
No. There, look, we said it last few episodes ago when we were saying that Primo is done in Montreal, right? But we all said and we all agreed that he still has some juice in him. He's just done with this organization. I think we all felt that in a new team, new environment, new people, new coaching staff, new team
teammates,
would be he'd be a better goalie. Part. Okay, but I think what I've seen, and I know it's only two games, but I think I've seen the Primo. That is, I don't know. I just think that Primo is back.
The potential you see the potential.
I see a lot of potential. The potential we all have seen in him. It's starting to show.
Well, is this encouraging? Is
that after playing only two games?
But it's two games and two consistent games. And I'm sorry, but I think they should be playing two more.
Against two teams that are in the top 10?
Mm-hmm.
New Jersey and Detroit.
Fine. So if he's being consistent, then why isn't he still playing?
That's a question I can't even answer because I don't know why.
I don't understand that. I honestly don't. I'm trying to understand. I'm trying to understand what the strategy is behind chairs. Well, the musical goalie chairs for sure. I don't know. I wish I have an answer, but I love to have this conversation with you guys, especially that Chris and AJ are here now. I want to speculate is that I think now the goalie market is finally open, or a little bit more open than the beginning of the season. We talked about Edmonton last episode, now especially with the coaching change that they did. And now Colorado, Pavel Frank Sauce. I don't know how you pronounce his name. He's done for the rest of the year on LTIR. So Colorado needs a goalie.
Who's their backup?
Well, they have Alexander Georgiev, and they picked up a goalie on waivers, but he's a minor league goalie, and I cannot pronounce his name properly. But look, let's ask this question: will the Habs trade one of their goalies eventually?
Yes, but it shouldn't be a Primo. I think he, like I said, we've all said that he still has it in him, just mm-hmm. with another team.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he found it here. And I think, you know, Allen is, he's not our future. I said it last episode, Sam. Allen is not our future. He's done. He's,
mm-hmm. it was never
his prime is over. I think he has one or two more seasons left in him. He's
got two seasons left on his contract with the Canadians as well.
But even himself, I don't see him playing even longer. Maybe another two seasons after, but I think his career is somewhat coming to an end. Mind you, he's still playing very well. But if you're talking about the future of the Montreal Canadiens, the future mm-hmm. of contending in 2-3 years from now, or winning in 4-5 years from now, Primo won't be in the picture. Allen won't be in the picture.
Oh, he's got 1 year left. Sorry, one year left after this one. He's 33 years old.
Montabo and Allen Montabo and Primo should be our top two goalies.
Well,
right now.
Well, Saturday night, Elliot Friedman reported that extension talks for Montabo are going on, and apparently they're going pretty well. So, what is that? What could that tell you? What is
Monty's thing?
I'm gonna reiterate this, like what Anthony's saying. I'm gonna stick with the two goalies that have the most potential to grow. Montembeau still has potential to grow. Primo, like, it's been pretty surprising to date what he's brought to the table as we're discussing.
Mm-hmm.
But Allen, human being aside, solid teammate, everything, I just don't see why you would keep him here. I don't see really what's the justification. Again, I'd rather... If they're still going to go down with that mentality of splitting the goal between two goalies, hey, let two young guys do it. And whoever you ride the hot hand. But they're getting a pretty significant opportunity to grow. Allen, in my opinion, like, and a group, you guys let me know how you think about this, but Allen, in my opinion, has no room to grow. That goes without saying. But if you're going to have two goalies with that potential to grow, then split the time between them, because one goalie in the press box per game, one of those two younger goalies in the press box per game is just, it's just counterintuitive. It goes against their development. It goes against increasing their value. It goes against them progressing in their career. So Allen is the easy answer for me.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's obvious that, I mean, at the age of 33,
should be Allen, but
yeah,
I don't think they have the confidence. Like I said, the confidence in Primo. That's why all this shit's going on.
But that's what I'm wondering too. Yeah.
But Adri, do they need? That's the thing. Like, even if they make the playoffs this year, I think we'll all say it the same way. It'll be a blessing. It'll be a miracle. It'll be a very surprising year. But if they make the playoffs this year again, is Allen going to be the guy to get us to the cup? Like, no. I know they don't have.
No, but. He has the experience. He's the veteran goalie. But again, okay, he's got 1 year left. But again, I don't know who he would go pick. And like I said, Monty was playing well even last year, and should still be continuing now. But he can't continue because of this stupidity.
This musical chairs thing. Yeah.
Like, how do you want them? Again, you want them not to develop, not to be in the box, but you got to play them. And for sure, Allen has something. Maybe it's something in his contract or whatever. Or like you said, he wants to play more. So they're stuck with that too. Whether it's the coach's decision or whoever, but there's got to be something that's all this is causing, or there's no confidence in one of the young goalies. That's why the shit's going.
Well, here's the thing about Allen's contract. Right now, he's got a modified no trade clause. And for this season, 2023-24, he's got seven teams that he does not want to get traded to. And next season, he only has three teams. So what are the odds that a team like the Edmonton Oilers are on that list? And the funny, you think the Edmonton Oilers are on his list?
Fuck, if I was a hockey player, like I say it, if I was a hockey player, I'd go play anywhere and be happy. But after 10 years of playing in the league and you have a little say where you go and you have a family and this and that, would I want to go to Edmonton over other cities? Probably not. I know you have Connor McDavid in front of you, but nevertheless.
Yeah, I understand that. But I mean, there's been rumors about him going to Edmonton for like the longest time. And it seems like now more than ever, yeah, it makes sense.
There's those rumors, but no one knows who's on the list other than him.
No, but they'll never expose that list.
Exactly. So they can say he can go there or he's rumored to go there, but if Edmonton's on the list, but
yeah, then like you said, we're gonna do like Ottawa where they fucking trade Dadonov to a team that he doesn't want to go to, and now they get fucking screwed over. They lost their first round pick. So I don't think Kent Hughes is that stupid.
Exactly. So.
So I know
that could be one of the things that Hughes they knows that there's seven teams for this year and next year there's three. So there's less of a there's more teams to send them to on his last year.
Look, the coming week right now, like we're recording on Sunday, the Canadiens lost to the Vancouver Canucks. Jake Allen was in net. The coming week, another three games. Tuesday, a good classical. Yeah, right. A classic Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday games. Tuesday against Calgary. Thursday against Vegas. And then Saturday against the Bruins again.
Sammy, these are all away, right? I got to stop you. Sammy, this is very important.
Hold on. I need to ask you this. Out of those three games, do you see Primo getting a start in one of those games?
Who knows?
No, let's speculate.
Speculate. You can't speculate with the way shit's going. There's three goals. So, yeah, they're going to put one in each fucking team.
The crazy thing is...
This is what I'm thinking. I'm actually thinking one goalie for each of these games, but now I'm trying to decide which...
stupid. How do you want these fucking teams to grow? How do you want these players to work? Like, makes no sense.
No, it makes zero. No, and I agree with Adri, but the crazy thing in all this, we're what, 15 game now or 13 games in, 14 games in, and all three goalies are performing very well. It's not like one is being worse than the other. You know what I mean? They're all playing very well. So it's even harder for these coaches to make that decision of who we should play. But to answer your question, if Allen should play or sorry, Primo should play, yes, give him more ice time. Or you pick the two that's your future that you want to see develop and grow in your team with this group of guys and group of kids, sorry, and just focus on them two. Stop with the rotation of three.
Yeah, but it's
yeah,
it's,
what's going to happen with the third one?
It's time. I think it's time to make that trade happen. And now it's the time.
I say Primo plays Tuesday against Calgary. Yeah. I say give him that opportunity. I say give Primo. You know what? Primo played against two very good teams in the Devils and you know, the Detroit Red Wings are still a very good team. I say give him an opportunity to play a not-so-strong team, a team that's struggling, but, like, you know, give him a chance to win again. Give him a chance, you know, to perform. to perform well in front of his his teammates. I don't know. That's just the way I see it. And then you split the two, Vegas and Boston. You know, you could give I say you give Allen a chance against Vegas on Thursday. And since Montembeau played well against the Bruins this past Saturday, fuck it, give him a chance on the road again against the Bruins.
First win in 4 years. I didn't even know that. But anyways, we'll talk about that later. But that's crazy.
Yeah. So
you haven't beat the Bruins in 4 years.
I guess this could be the next transition here. But I think Adrian just summed it up perfectly. It's stupid. It's stupid musical chairs. Adrian, we don't see your face in a while. You just sum up an entire topic with one word. Stupid.
Yeah, it's fucking stupid. That's stupid. Fucking stupid.
I love it. But anyways, look, after that Detroit win, I think Habs fans were excited to finally see the Bruins, you know, come to the Bell Center on a Saturday night. Saturday night is always a fun night when the Bruins are in town. And look, let's get straight to it this past weekend. So the Habs beat the Bruins, but they lose to the Vancouver Canucks. You know, you're playing two of like the top three or four teams in the league. You know, this was another true test for the Canadians. The way they play after the way they played against the Vegas Golden Knights, top team in the league, played an excellent game, should have won that game, lost in shootout. We know the story about that. Next test came against the Bruins. Despite not having Bergeron, despite not having Krejci, I don't know how the hell the Bruins are playing the way they are, which is amazing. And maybe I kind of do, because I think I hate saying it. I hate the Bruins, but I respect them. I respect the culture they're building within that franchise. And, you know, with a coach like Jim Montgomery, for sure, they're going to play well. But the Curfew Boys put out a tweet after that game. I think Saturday's game versus the Bruins was the best game this team's ever played under Marty St. Louis. And I know Marty didn't say it. He said it after the Vegas game. He probably learned his lesson not to say it again. But what I saw, take away the first goal within like the first 10 seconds of the game, take that away, I saw a well-composed, an aggressive Montreal Canadiens young team. Okay, this was. We'll get into the details, but at the end of it all, like, you know how we have so many different moments and memories of like the past teams, like when there was like the Pacioretty and the Subans were the team with Price, you know, I'll mention his name, Galchenyuk moments, and then before that there was the Koivu Kovalev. You know, there was that whole era of memories. You can even put in the Camilleri mode. I think this is take away the Stanley Cup finals or the Stanley Cup playoffs that the Canadiens had a few years ago. This game was like the first memorable game of this new Montreal Canadiens team, this new look. I don't know if you guys feel the same way.
I agree, but the
way the game went and the way it ended, like that's the first, it's like the first new memory that I'll have with the Montreal Canadiens under new faces, a new core. You know what I mean? Era. A new era, exactly. Thanks, Adrian. Fuck, you're on fire, Adrian.
Well, to that point, like Montreal hasn't beat Boston in a little while. Montreal's been going through a lot of shit basically since they went to the Stanley Cup final, lost Price and Weber. So it was really the handing over the torch. Little Remembrance Day tidbit right there. But that being said, this team has changed and this team has been pretty rough all around. And what you're saying, Sammy, it's funny. Like, I don't quite have the words and I'm going to do my very best not to ramble here. But it's just the passing plays, what's going on the ice. Mm-hmm. The organization on ice of what the players are doing and how they're following through with stuff. It's finally coming together. And I think I think especially, like, I want to compare it to that Vegas game, like the Montreal-Boston game yesterday, mm-hmm. as compared to the Vegas game. It feels like since they went to the Cup Finals, I haven't really remembered a game that they haven't stolen against a very good team. Like, there have been games that they've completely – they robbed the other team. The other team deserved the win, but very, very rarely have the Canadians been like, holy shit, this is a back-and-forth game. This is entertaining, and they deserve to be in the game, and they mm-hmm. are in the game, and mm-hmm. everything is going through, and that's kind of – that's kind of what's resonating. I think I do agree with that statement. I don't know if I will attribute it only to the Bruins Canadians game, but like it feels like it's finally starting to come together. I'm finally starting to see the light and actually saying like, okay, no, this is why I have confidence in believing that this is going to be a good team. And like you said, they're putting their individual stamp. The players that are going to be the core members are really starting to put their stamp on things more and more. And yeah, it was an absolutely memorable game. We're going to go full circle. It was a memorable game because it's been a while that a Montreal-Boston game has even truly been competitive. And those growing up, those I think were some of all of our favorite games to be watching. Mm-hmm. Always very tense and very close. I thought the one standout for me, like on top of everything, like fuck, Arbor Jack, I was meant to play against the Bruins. He played a great game.
He dished out quite a few hits, and there were big hits too. Absolutely, I didn't know Lucic was injured, or I don't know if he was. I'm pretty sure he was injured, or not a healthy scratch. So I was waiting for to see if we're going to see a Jack Eye Lucic tilt, but it didn't go down that way, and that's okay too. But yeah, I totally agree. Jack Eye played. I thought he played a very, very solid game. I think Nick Antony here. Another thing you mentioned. Another player you wanted to see wake up. Nick Suzuki.
Yes, but then he fell asleep again tonight. So
he wasn't the only one. But come on, against Detroit, against the Bruins too, man. Like Nick Suzuki finally played like the captain.
Yeah.
And he was amazing against the Bruins.
No, and I was happy to see that the last two games I saw that, you know, everybody was putting in their effort, and you know, like Gallagher's still on that streak, and I'm loving it. You know, they said it in tonight's game, like Gallagher is playing like the old Gallagher. I'm sure it's burning fire right now, but
Joey will never admit it. He won't message us in the group chat.
He is playing the old Gallagher as long as he continues staying healthy, and it's also his line mates. He's playing with the right people. His style of play.
That's true too.
I owe Gallagher. Look, I've been almost as hard on Gallagher as Joey has been. And I have to say, I had zero expectations that Gallagher could actually pull this off. I've been worried about his health, and I actually just had no faith that he would stay healthy. And to date, like, serious tip of the hat to you, Brendan Gallagher. There's nothing. Look, it's a win-win for a fan, and I have to say, it's a win-win for a fan. Mm-hmm. But you know, similar to when Carey Price shut this fucking city's mouth up about him being a bust and no good, then he goes out and he wins all the seasonal trophies. Gallagher is a little bit far away from achieving that, but for a guy who we didn't even think would pot 10 goals, he's already halfway there. He's got the same number of goals as Caulfield. So for everybody in the city, let's call a spade a spade. Brendan Gallagher has been disappointing for the past few seasons. He still this season has a little bit of difficulty keeping up with the pace at times and making passes, but he's a lot better than we expected to be. And it's not so difficult to swallow the salary this year. So good on you, Brendan Gallagher. Yeah,
he scored 8 goals last year, and he's at 5 right now.
Exactly.
Yeah. 8 points in 14 games. I mean, he's on a good pace.
that's good. That's good, all things considered, for him and where he's at in his career, his health, like health wise, and even contract wise. I get it. It's not the contract we like, but considering where he's been for the last two seasons, which is was most of the time in the infirmary, like now he's on the ice and he's staying there and he's performing. The goal he scored against the Bruins was a classic Gallagher type goal. And my God, like that just sparked. That was the spark they needed to fucking set the rest of the game on fire. Like, very, very bad metaphor I'm using, but you guys know what I'm saying. Yeah. And it was awesome to see. And look, I'll get straight to it. We all love seeing Caulfield score an overtime goal, the game winner. But when Gouley got that goal, I jumped out of my seat. Yeah. I literally went ballistic.
And as much as I was so happy to see Gouley, but it was so disappointing that Anderson didn't score it because he's still looking for that goal. And that would have been.
I feel so bad.
But at least you see he's fucking – he's doing everything he can. So
he's doing everything, even tonight.
I know.
It's coming.
Oh, man. It
might come at the end of the season, but it's coming.
I feel I feel for Anderson, but just real quick, like I really thought Caden Gouley deserved it. I think he played his best hockey game of his life against the Bruins. He was so awesome and he deserved that goal. A guy that doesn't get any power play minutes, which I still believe he should be getting power play minutes. And like, look, they're in the middle of the pack. They're 12th in the league right now in power play. It's good, but you got to give him that chance, man. If he's going to be I keep saying this. I sound like a broken record, but if he's going to be our potential number one, he's got to play on the power play. And now you know like it's so funny how like we were all relying on Mike Matheson to be that defenseman in overtime, and even him, he almost scored a fucking beauty. He fooled everybody. He just
went.
Dude, he just went and everyone just stood still and like, oh fuck, there he goes. Oh my God, if you would have scored that one, that would have been the highlight of the night. But now they know they have a defenseman like Caden Gouley who can participate in the offensive rush. He's the two-way defenseman that we were waiting for since Markov. I think it's still Arbor Jack Eye. It's Arbor Jack Eye and Justin Barron. Like, I love Jack Eye. Yes, he's got a good wrist shot. He's got a hard shot, but like, he doesn't have that offensive capability like Gouley does. I truly believe that
you're saying he doesn't as he dangles through the defense and gets a beauty goal.
beauty goal. Look, it was a nice shot. I'm happy he scored, but like,
I'm busting your balls because I completely, you know, I think a guy like Jack Eye, the role should be absolutely reversed. I see Caden Gouley killing penalties, and I don't want.
Oh, you blocked all kinds of shots too.
One second. Sorry, I gotta.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. I hope his cat's still alive. No, seriously. It didn't look good too. Like, but no, seriously. Like, Caden Gouley was an absolute beast on that penalty kill. How many shots did he block?
No, he was a wall. He was a wall.
Sorry about that, guys. I literally heard a scream, but I really wanted to finish that thought. If that's okay. No problem. Typical, like a bug in the house type thing.
I thought there was a problem.
You think like World War III had been?
I thought it was the cat. I thought it was a problem with the cat.
Well, all to say, going back to it, like I don't want Caden Gouley to be blocking shots and risking injury. I also think Arbor Jack Eye is the kind of guy that you want to have clearing out the front of the net on the penalty kill. Like, I think it's just a natural fit for him, but the roles seem to be inversed. But on that front, like, I don't want to completely change the topic, but when I said, can we please dive into that and talk about it a little more? Mm-hmm. I don't like some of the lines. I genuinely don't like these lines. They're scoring. There are a few things that are clearly working. You're mentioning like, okay, the Canadians power play 12. Well, who's playing with who? I still see Caulfield playing with Suzuki on the power play. I hate Caulfield and Suzuki split apart for the rest of the game. I think Suzuki is playing actually... Newhook and Anderson do not fit with Suzuki whatsoever. That's my opinion. That's my take. You criticize whatever, but I do not see that fit. And I think there's a lot more magic that just naturally happens when you have Caulfield and Suzuki with one another. I would actually love I would love, like, for some strange reason, Slafkovský is playing really, really well with Caulfield. Fuck, bring the boys together. Caulfield, Suzuki, Slafkovský. Some people might say, oh, no, he doesn't deserve it, doesn't deserve it. Seriously? For those fucking people who are shitting on Slafkovský, that's the next one that everybody's shitting on. Slafkovský, oh, he has to go down, he has to do this. Like, he's honestly been a very impactful player. He's been in the right position. Yes, he's fumbled the puck, but compared to what we've been seeing with him, if he was able to make that much progress in a few games, let the kid keep going. Fuck, don't put the stick in the wheels right now. So line changes, get the skill player with the skill players with the skill players. I'd also, if Slafkovský is not going to be playing with Suzuki and Caulfield, then I don't understand why Dvorak can't switch with Monahan. I know you're going to say, oh, well, Dvorak, Gallagher, Pearson,
Monahan
are doing well, but I think that's
That line cannot be touched. Gallagher is finally playing with the right style of players for his style of hockey, and it's working. He's putting in the points. That line cannot be touched. But I do agree with your statement of, like, these line changes. We said it last episode. So I'm like, they just keep changing and not nonstop instead of just keeping it going. The magic will not spark like this. You got to build the chemistry with, especially we're a young team. We're not putting a bunch of talented players who are experienced and, okay, they're going to spark a light today and play and score 10 goals. No, they need to start building chemistry. But you saying Suzuki and Caulfield should play together, I mean, that's the ideal line, right? We love them together. But them being split up the last two games, it worked. It worked.
Yeah, it did. It did work.
It did and it didn't.
Well, you know what?
It worked in a way that
when did they score the goal? Power play. There were power play goals, and they have been, again, a lot better on the power play, but they're playing together on the power play. Lo and behold. Yeah. And then in overtime, when Caulfield's getting those goals, who is he playing with? He's playing with Suzuki again.
Well, you can't put Newhook back at center, that's for sure.
Absolutely not.
You cannot Newhook. Actually, here's the thing. Newhook looks good with Suzuki, and Slafkovský looks good with Caulfield, like you said. Against the Vancouver Canucks, I thought this was one of Slafkovský's best games in terms of consistency and creating chances.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember if he had at least one bad shift. His first shift, a 2-on-1, you could tell he's still struggling with the decision making in terms of, do I make the pass? Because he's always thinking pass first. Like I could tell the kid, he wants to make a good pass first instead of shooting.
When you have Caulfield, not to blame him. When you have Caulfield on the other side, I don't blame him.
But it's okay too. But like my point is that, like, if you're gonna go with whatever decision it is, just do it. If you're gonna make the pass, make the pass. If you're gonna want to shoot, shoot. I'm sure he fanned on the shot because he was 1,000% hesitating on what to do. The shift after that, fuck, he was in the slot, going for a shot, fanned out. It was half a fan and half it got blocked. But like you could tell as the game was going, he had a bit more confidence after. He was creating chances. Him, when he parks his ass in front of the goalie, something's going to happen. Either he's going to deflect it in, the goalie's not going to see the shot coming, or he's just going to, or there's going to be a rebound to him. Whether he scores or not, whatever the case may be, however the result is in the end, at least he's there to create that scoring opportunity. And I'm not gonna jump the gun on our final topic, but look, it worked with the Christian Dvorak goal before it went to the Coastal Challenge, which we'll get to later. But who was parked in front of the net? It was Slafkovský. He's a big kid. That's
what I saw tonight. I saw Slav and Anderson in front of that net many times. Yeah. Yes. Nice to see big guys. That's what you need. That works.
Honest, you know what? In all honesty, Chris, against the Flames, if you're gonna put Primo in nets, I say put Slafkovský on with Cole and Nick. Go back to that line. I would put Dvorak with Newhook and Anderson. Let those two like carry the puck with speed, and if they have to drop it to Dvorak, Dvorak is a playmaker.
But that's the other thing too that I just want to say. What you're mentioning, without touching that third line, okay, we don't want to touch the Gallagher, Monahan, Pearson line, no problem. But hardworking players, Dvorak, Anderson, and Newhook versus your top-end talent. And I think it's just – I think it just fits so much more naturally. It freaking does. And I'm hoping to God – I'm really hoping to God that they go down that path, because I think it could really initiate something pretty pretty special.
Yeah, I totally agree. So, look, the game against the Canucks, the first period, the way they were playing, I thought we were going to see maybe a glimpse of the game we saw against the Bruins. Yeah. They were holding their own a little bit. The first goal for the Canucks was like half a flu, kind of a nice play. The second goal, like, and I know, Chris, you were talking about it in the group chat, that it was a weak goal on Allen. While I agree with you somewhat on that, you know, this is why this episode is called Controlling the Risks, okay? That's what Marty St. Louis has been saying for the past three games. We're learning to control the risks, okay? They made that one mistake about controlling the risks in this game against the Canucks. And when Jake Allen did not have his stick...
Someone should have made a mistake.
Either that or, man, you're out of the zone. You got to make sure that puck is deep in the opponent's zone so you give the goalie time to get his stick back. Because they got out of the zone, but barely crossed the blue line. But we're nowhere near.
They got out of the zone. I would have hoped that one player stayed back and tried to get that stick. They all left the zone together.
You could do that too, if anything. But if you gotta be aware, bless you, Ant. You gotta be aware that your goalie does not have a stick anymore. Bless you again. His mic is off. But you got. Yeah, no problem. But no, they need to be aware that, like, fuck, our goal is that, okay, we got to get this puck deeper than where it is right now.
Even if you make it an icing play, just fucking...
If like, you have to, at that point, you have to. But they were out of the zone. They just needed to cross that red line and fucking dump it in. And even at that, they were tired too. They couldn't change. Allen couldn't get his stick. Should he have fucking gotten that shot? Yeah, maybe with his glove. A lot of times goalies are used to, at least with their stick and fucking batting it out.
It was a little shot too, right?
It was a little shot, so they use their stick for it. And anyways, look, I'm not a goalie, but yeah, Allen should have got that. But you know what? I think the other five guys on the ice for that play need to look at themselves in the mirror and be like, maybe we could have done better. We should have done our jobs
100% better. I was watching that play, that whole moment looking. I wasn't even watching the play. I was looking at that stick, and I was hoping that at least one player would have went to go get a stick for him. Even and like you said, I know it's hard in the moment, right? Because they're trying to defend. But the moment that puck left the zone, that moment there, one should have stayed back and tried to get that stick
for him. Yeah.
Or, I said before, give your own stick. You know,
while defending, I agree. I look at Quinn Hughes' play, and I hope to God Lane Hudson is like that. I pray to God, and I know Lane Hudson just keeps scoring in the NCAA, but like I see Quinn Hughes' play, and I hope. And if Lane Hudson could be half the player that Quinn Hughes, oh my God, like we're all gonna lose our fucking minds. Like Habs fans are already losing their minds.
that bloodline is all talent,
dude. It's insane, huh? Yeah. Wait, I talk about the Hughes line, Hughes bloodline, or the Hudson bloodline? Apparently, Lane Hudson's brother might go in the first round this year's draft. So him too. But yes, they're like the new age Stahl brothers.
Like at one point, that's exactly what I was thinking.
At one point, when the Stahl brothers were just like, that's all there was in the league, and now all of a sudden it's the fucking Hughes brothers. So we're waiting for a fourth or a fifth one to come in, and they're gonna take over the NHL as well. But
wait until all three play together.
Can you imagine? Well, you got Jack and Luke. If Quinn joins the New Jersey Devils, like, might as well just give them the Stanley Cup. Fucking just give it to them.
What was wrong with the Blades tonight? It was Gallagher and Suzuki that lost their skate.
Dude, I know Suzuki. I thought he was struggling to get up because he got hit in the head. Like he looked like he went face first at the edge of the boards, the edge of the boards and the glass meet. I thought he got hit over there. So
I didn't see that. I knew right away. I saw it was the blade, but
Suzuki's blade. Yes. Suzuki, yeah. Well, you know. Yeah. If it's not the medical staff, it's the fucking equipment staff. But okay, I want to go back to
Gervais then again.
Exactly. Oh, yeah,
you got to figure.
Exactly. I want to go back to Dvorak's goal that was brought back because of another coach's challenge offside. Okay, and I'm gonna open this final topic and this debate here about challenging offsides. Okay, this is where I think the NHL needs to get their shit together, and it's 3-4 games in a row now that the Canadians get a goal called on back. What offside is. and the worst thing about it is that it's all Cole Caulfield's fault.
Yeah,
like no, it's too fast. Yeah, he's too fast. But like, speaking of being too fast, like
his legs are going faster than his brain.
he's just going faster than the puck carrier. But like, no, it's not to blame Cole Caulfield. But unfortunately, he's the culprit. Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's.
But
I was just about to say, much like in soccer, though, you have a responsibility. Like before we go down the whole Cole line, I don't think we're gonna do it. I just want to specify to fans that. You know, hockey, soccer, especially soccer is a big thing for offside. Look, just a question of being more aware. Cole, you just got to slow down a step. You got to be more mindful and you enter the zone when you're absolutely sure. Don't cheat. Be responsible. Be aware. That's it.
So here's my fucking issue with this. Like, you know how the NHL is trying to make the game faster and more exciting and entertaining and blah, 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 blah. By doing the whole coaches challenge thing for offsides, I think you ruin the momentum. But here's my fucking problem. And I know I might sound biased because it's happening to the Montreal Canadiens, but if we were to do a coaches challenge against the opposing team and we got it, we would be happy. Yes, fair. But here's my thing. If you can't make a coaches challenge on a penalty that the official missed, then why the hell are we doing coaches challenge on offsides that linesmen missed? What's the point of having these guys on the ice if that's all we're going to do is just fucking challenge this missed call or challenge that missed call? You want to challenge goaltender interference because of the crease, you know, there's the rule, that's his zone. Fine, whatever. I'll give the benefit of the doubt in terms of goaltender interference. But for fuck's sakes, if the game has gone way too fast now for these referees, I think, you know what? Chris mentioned this once many, many episodes ago, maybe even last season. Can we let the human error be part or let it be a factor of the game too? At this point, if the game is too fast for the eyes of the referees right now.
But I think... And you're right, Sam, and I agree with that statement. You know, if we're going to start putting challenges on a missed offside, then once you do a challenge on a missed penalty. But the difference between the two is that an offside is something easy to catch in a replay, whereas penalties are sometimes judgment calls from the refs, right? So, and that will slow down the game a lot more. But don't get me wrong. I mean, I agree with that point.
Yeah.
The thing is, you know, they do want the game to be faster. So if we're going to start challenging everything, then forget it. They're going to be like every 2 seconds, they're going to throw in that flag, no, right? Like in football, you see that often.
Get rid of coaches' challenge for offsides. Just get rid of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, look, I don't know if I would have an adjustment to that, like specifically, or make some sort of technicality where if it's, let's say, within 6 inches, and they could easily put markings along the boards. They can easily have some sort of marker system or something that, look, if the players skate, what bothers me is that we want to see goals. People show up to the game to watch goals. Yeah, maybe some good saves, but people want to see goals. And like you said, I'm trying not to be a homer about it. It's been fucking happening a lot to the Montreal Canadiens. I think it's 4 games straight. I'm sick and tired. Like, I think this all goes back to Matt Duchene. Years ago when he was playing in Colorado, and he was like offside by 5 feet. When you're offside by fucking 5 feet. Oh my God,
I remember
feet,
that.
Yeah, when you're offside by that much, I would love to have a fucking...
Danny Briere too, huh? I think there was a Danny Briere highlight too. Like he was like almost a stick length offside. Kale McCarr too during the playoffs, I think, was offside as well.
But that's the thing exactly. Like, you know, there were a few. There was a spectacular goal that was scored by Suzuki a few games ago, and yep. that gets called yeah. back. And like, as a fan, I'm just like, fuck that. And like, we especially. I think across the board here in Montreal, Cole Caulfield scores a goal, and we're fucking so happy. We're so happy to see him, and like we're looking at his stats, and we're waiting for that first 40 goal score in like fucking 30 years. And it's off because there's maybe a fraction of an inch of his blade was past the blue line yeah. before the like it has nothing to do. It's basically 30 seconds later they dominated the fucking play, and because his fucking skate was a fraction of a freaking inch offside. You're taking away all that hard work and that amazing talent. Like, that's bullshit. Is it a clear offside? Bring back the human error. You have like a little marking where they say, look, we're giving you 6 inches grace or something to that degree. And at that point in time, if we feel as though it's a significant offside, because it gives a little bit of human error. And then you don't have this time wasted at all because they're fucking measuring if it's a few centimeters.
I see all sides of this, and I guess now, like you said, Sam, before, we're all mad now because it's happening to us. But being a football fan, for example, mm-hmm. like all these missed human errors changes the whole fucking game, and that's why a part of me actually wants these challenges, because. Again, imagine you score a goal and it's a clear offside, but because there's no challenge, that goal stands and it changes the whole outcome of the game. It happens in football so many fucking times. And in football, you can't challenge everything, right? So there's a lot of human error in football. And sometimes that human error fucking changes that whole outcome. There was a game last year that the Patriots didn't make the playoffs because it was the Raiders, you know, caught the ball, his fucking toe crossed the line, and they didn't challenge it. They weren't allowed to challenge it because it was the last 2 minutes of the play. But the guy was out. And they ended up winning the game. But okay. That toll could have changed the game where the Patriots could have made the playoffs. You know what I mean? So
well, for sure, it will have an outcome of the game. If Christian Dvorak's goal counts, offside, no offside, whatever. No, yeah. if Christian Dvorak's goal counts, I think we have a different game.
100%.
Yeah.
I totally do. Here's the issue that I have, and at look, majority of these refs, these linesmen, they're good enough to know that if it's a clear offside, they're gonna call it. But if it's so close, within inches, there's that, because these players are going way too fast. Number one, number two, you're calling like the goal happened a minute and a half after.
That's what I'm saying.
So it's a minute and a half after. Like at that point.
And that's like, where I agree with you now. So,
you know what I mean? So let me just finish this. Like,
or
so
maybe Chris, a time delay.
So
maybe
a time delay. A time buffer. Like, listen, if there's an offside and the goal happens within, fuck, I don't know. Let's say
30 seconds. I'd say 30
even,
seconds.
Even 30 not seconds even a lot. Even because the game is so fast, like it takes less than a second to score a goal. So let's give 10. Let's push to 15 seconds. If a goal happens within those 10 to 15 seconds and there's a clear offside, fine. If you're on the power play and you're circulating the puck for a minute and a half, passing plays, shooting left and right, but keeping in the zone, then you finally score. Oh, coach's challenge. You know, a lot of these teams are fucking smart, though. They know it's an offside. Their best players on the ice just burn themselves for a minute and a half. Oh, they scored a goal, but it doesn't count. Boom. Now we get them back. Their second wave is going.
You know what? It's an easy fix.
To add to the ruling, I like the time buffer, like the timeline. Basically, if you have 15 seconds and whatever. The other thing that could make it very interesting too, it's an automatic. If the offensive team turns over the puck and the defensive team manages to get control of the puck and then loses it and it doesn't leave the zone. Then that's another technicality where you're just like it has no consequence.
I have even a better way of handling this. Stupid, but it might even work even better.
That's Adri's word.
Call this episode stupid. No, but the sport has evolved so much. Where why don't you have a ref in this, not in the stands, but upstairs.
But there watching is the one. Game. There is one though.
Headphones, headpieces. If you there's a specific ref up there watching all the plays. If you know there's an offside that happened and occurred, instead of making the play go on a minute and a half before that goal happens,
you call the ref and be like, "Hey man,
there's an offside right now. Call it.
Stop the play.
The play immediately." And then everybody's like, "What the fuck happened?" And then he goes, "Oh, it was offside."
But again, won't that kill momentum as well of the game?
Yes, but it kills even more when you play it a minute and a half more.
Yeah. Look, there's no easy solution for this, but I just find like and again, we're only watching Montreal Canadiens games and it's happening to us. I don't know what it's like in other games across the league, but this is not like I'm having this conversation with other guys, other guys that play hockey, other colleagues too, and it's like it's getting ridiculous now.
No, 100%.
So I don't know what else to think of this. Like I said, I'll go back to stick with the goaltender interference. Fine,
take the tablets off the bench.
Yo, Chris Nyland would love you right now.
It's as simple as that.
Take the tablets off the bench. That's the smartest thing you've said all night, or anyone has said.
Why? Stupid's not good enough.
Well, stupid's good. But like, I mean, you're the opposites. Your opposite statements are attracted to each other. It's true. Take those tablets out.
It doesn't, to be 100% honest, it doesn't really have any consequence because you still have, and this has happened for years, you have the other video coach who's not on the bench.
Yeah, that's true.
Calling in the earpiece. But I'm just saying I don't have any problem. Like, I actually kind of do like that if the players – I don't like that the head coaches, I hear what you're saying, Adri, is basically up to the video coach to make sure that he's not sipping coffee and not paying attention. But like, I do also like when, let's say, the players screw up on a play and they want to revise something that happened over the course of the last play. Okay, next time we're on the ice, you're here, I'm here. This is how we respond and this is how we do better. Like,
yeah, they also have a fucking a game board with a fucking marker.
Or
what does he need to fucking watch?
Or you have a Chris Kreider that just fucking takes it out of Zibanejad's hands and just fucking whips it on the floor. That was actually funny. That's my only favorite Chris Kreider moment.
Guys, it's only going to get worse. This game is evolving. They want to make it so high tech and so fun. And trust me, this is just the beginning of technology and AI shit. We're going to come to a point where everything's going to be digitized. Eventually, it's going to be a time where there's going to be no refs on the ice. And everything's going to be digitalized on the ice. And
probably. Yeah, maybe. Anyways, I don't know if I want to be alive to find out, but maybe I do. Maybe I kind of do.
Like you said, you know, Chris Nyland would be happy. Of course he'd be happy because he comes from an era where it was old school, rough, raw hockey, right? Everything was raw. It was on the spot. There's no challenges.
Guys were tough.
If you score, you score. If it's a goal, it is what it is. There's no turning back time. It is. You move on and you move forward to the game and whatever the outcome is, now with all this shit that's happening, like there's fucking stats being recorded by speed of shot, and if you download the NHL app and you subscribe to it, you can watch the game and you can click like different angles of the game, and you can click the player and there's like mechanism in the fucking puck where it controls. It's crazy. I'm telling you, it's evolved so much where. All these complaints that we're having right now, that we're just having this discussion, it's just worse.
We're gonna be dinosaurs. This conversation is gonna be fucking fossilized dinosaur conversation when that time comes. But that's all I got.
The kids today are enjoying this. We're not enjoying it because we miss the old school stuff.
Well, look, part of me wishes I had all the access to info and training videos that the kids have today. I wish I had when I was a kid.
Yeah.
1000%. All these YouTube videos, all these scientific data they have right now, dude. When I was growing up, and even when we were teenagers playing hockey, even when you guys used to play soccer, and all that, man, there was never a discussion about the recovery. Now, in terms of conditioning, like, recovery is the most important thing ever. And it's probably always been there, the importance of it. But the conversation was, I never heard about the importance of recovery.
Train until you die.
It was just, yeah, it was just fucking start. It's just, dude, run, jog until you die. And fuck, you better jog fast until you die. Now it's like there's all this scientific data about recovery and the amount of effort you put in the least
don't
amount
do
of
do a full bench press because you're putting stress on the inner deltoid.
Dude,
and
my shoulder, my deltoid, my left is so fucked because of the amount of times I attempted benching fucking two plates just so I could get into the school I wanted to get into, just so I could get the job I wanted to get. Like, I'm paying the price here, but listen, I'm kind of like the new age Chris Nyland, where like I put my body through the fucking ringer, and you know what? Just so I can get to that final destination, that ultimate goal, and that's it for me. So I want to do, before we say goodbye, I want to do something like Anthony does. If to our listeners and our viewers, if you've lasted this long into the episode, the word of the episode or the word of the day is stupid.
Yeah.
You got to say that way Adrian said it is stupid.
Stupid.
Fucking stupid.
So
you have to say
send us a DM on Instagram or leave a comment on our YouTube channel.
Comment
our YouTube
has to be stupid.
Stupid.
Stupid. STOOPID.
Or whatever.
Stupid. There you go.
All right, boys. Let's wrap this up. I had a great night with you guys. To our viewers and listeners, I hope you enjoyed the fun as well. Please like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. It is free. Help us grow this page. Help us grow this Montreal Canadiens fan community. It's like I said, it is free. Tell your friends about us. Spread the word. We're also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, any podcast platform. Instagram is where you can get a hold of us. If you have any comments or any concerns, you can always reach out to us. We're also on Facebook. I'm tired too, boys. Facebook, TikTok, Twitter. I think we're on Threads, if that app still exists. We're on all of them, I think. But Instagram, YouTube is the best place to reach us. Leave us an honest rating and review. Adri, it was so great seeing you again. Glad you're doing well. Anthony, you too. Chris, welcome back from enemy territory. Tuesday night, the Canadiens face the Calgary Flames, and I predict Caden Primo will get the start.
It's going to be a fucking another goal from Laval.
Dude, you're on fire tonight. What the hell did you eat? All right, guys. Thanks for doing this, boys. Until next time.
Bye now.
Bye now.
Good night.
Dynasty.